It's time for Talk of the Town with Jeremy Salemson. Jeremy visits with guests who are doing good work in our community, giving back, and who have a great story to tell. Now, here's Jeremy.
Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson, your host, and could not be more excited to welcome these two individuals to the studio today. Doctors Elizabeth and David Fitzgerald, two individuals that exemplify not only what the show is all about, but what this platform and the premise also represents, which is simply people helping people. And so, Doctors Elizabeth and David, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. We're thrilled to have both of you because we're talking about something near and dear to your heart. We're talking about the Malawi Children's Initiative. Just an incredible organization and an incredible platform that has been helping people for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about the initiative itself, sort of where it came from, and why it's so such a passionate platform for you and David.
Yeah, so Malawi Children's Initiative was created as a way to have people in our community here in the United States reach out to people in the community in Malawi, where we've lived and worked for over a decade. It was created in part because when we were living there from 2011 to 2013, I had been blogging about patients who I'd encountered and writing stories about them. And I think people were moved and wanted to be able to help. And after a couple of years of getting our act together, we created the nonprofit to really facilitate people reaching out across the ocean to children in one of the poorest countries in the world.
And David, sort of your thoughts on the platform itself, obviously, you know, being involved with Dr. Elizabeth as well. What a great concept for the two of you to be able to come together to help folks, not just here in Chapel Hill in the United States, but obviously in Africa as well.
Yes, I think a lot of our the Malawi Children's Initiative background grew out of our time in Malawi, where we were both working as physicians. I was doing infectious disease work. Elizabeth was doing pediatric HIV care. Yet, after work, we would see so much suffering. We were seeing our sick patients, but we were also seeing homeless children. We were seeing kids who couldn't go to school. We would go into home visits and see children sleeping on a floor in a hut with just some thatch over their house, and it'd be the rainy season. And we were really moved. So we started doing things ourselves outside of our work. And in doing that, we started sponsoring some children to go to school, was one of our main things. And out of that grew Malawi Children's Initiative and all of that we do now. And with support from a lot of family and friends back home and a lot of support in Chapel Hill. This is really a Chapel Hill-based nonprofit.
Certainly. And we are fortunate to have such tremendous community support here in Chapel Hill. I want to talk about the three primary focuses of MCI. And Elizabeth, why don't we start off with you on the educational side, as David just referenced. Talk about what the work has been over the last 10 years and where you see things heading with that as well.
Sure. As Dave mentioned, it started with us just paying school fees for children of friends or some of the people who we worked with. And from there, it really developed to the point where now we're paying for school fees for medical students, nursing students. We have an ultrasonographer who's going back for their master's degree so that they can come and do pediatric ultrasound for children in the hospital and, more importantly, teach it to other Malawians. In 2018, we built a small schoolhouse in a village of orphans, and that enabled them. There had been close to 100 children in one classroom. And so just building this small building enabled more children to have desks and places to sit.
So you talk about the funding and all the items that you're purchasing. Where does the funding come from across the board for the initiative?
The funding has always come from donations from friends and family, people who have worked in Malawi who may have been similarly touched. This has given them a way to reach out and help as well. So it's mostly within the community here, but then also within, also across the country and even across the world, people who've worked in the hospital where I've worked or worked with children in Malawi. They've supported our organization.
And we'll talk about some of the fundraising opportunities that have happened in the past and will also happen in the future as well in just a couple of moments. I want to talk about nutrition. That's sort of the second focus, if you will. Talk about your work at what KCH is, which is the Kamuzu Central Hospital, correct?
Yeah. Good pronunciation.
Yes. So when we first moved to Malawi, I worked for the Baylor Global Health Service Corps, as Dave mentioned, doing pediatric HIV work. But shortly after arriving, I started working in the government hospital, which, as you mentioned, is Kamuzu Central Hospital. And the conditions were just overwhelming. I mean, there are 5 children to a bed. Mm. You know, you'd take an oxygen tank that would be meant for one person and be splitting it among 10 children. There were medication shortages. And so seeing all that was what led us to creating our initiative and really supporting the hospital. The sickest kids at Kamuzu Central Hospital are the malnourished ones. So about 1 in 10 children who's admitted to the hospital with malnutrition dies. And any child who comes in with any disease, if they're also malnourished, it increases their likelihood of death. Mm. So we've really focused on helping these most vulnerable children. And we've done that first by hiring some nutritionists they do the weight and the height and the measurement of the children to identify that they're malnourished, although sometimes it's very obvious. And they help to create the feeding program to make sure that they're getting adequate nutrition. And recently we hired a clinical officer who's like a nurse practitioner, and she's been taking care of the children, but also more importantly, she's been teaching other clinicians to take care of malnourished children and teaching the young doctors who come through and doing some programmatic work. So we're really trying to tackle this highly vulnerable population. It's just, you know, when you see these children, you know, you see stuff like that on TV, right. But then when you're holding the hand of a child who is just wasting away, you know, you just feel so compelled to do something. And so that's where we've really focused on nutrition.
Yeah, I can imagine it extremely difficult to view, certainly firsthand. And those hirings, I'm sure, have addressed the needs that exist today. But what about the future needs, right? There's obviously a tremendous amount of need and growth, unfortunately, in this area. What are the plans in terms of hiring, and what are your hopes in terms of additional funding to meet those needs for those hires?
So we're doing great things. And to be honest, it doesn't even begin to meet the need. So there are sometimes, you know, as many as 25 patients for one nurse. And again, I think the biggest take-home point when I talk about Malawi, I think we think that we're different than they are. You know, we think that somehow, I don't know what we tell ourselves, that we don't, you know, we don't relate to the families and relate to the moms. But the moms and the dads love their children just as much as we do. They feel the same pain. They feel the same fear. They're hoping that someone can help them. And I think, you know, we're just beginning. So we're just beginning with these nutritionists and the clinical officer. But what we need to do is we need to hire more staff there. We need to train more pediatricians. We need to train people to take care of these children so that Dave and I don't need to fly there. You know, that's an expensive way to do it. But sure, we need Malawian pediatricians.
Well, and it's another reason that we need to raise more funds here in Chapel Hill and throughout the U.S. to bring back to Malawi. With that, we have to take a quick commercial break for our first stop. We'll be back with more of Doctors Elizabeth and David Fitzgerald in just a moment. You're listening to Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill WCHL.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, a look at philanthropy, goodwill, and altruism right here in our community. Here's your host, Jeremy Salemson.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town here on 97.9 The Hill WCHL. I'm Jeremy Salemson. We are back with Doctors Elizabeth and David Fitzgerald of the Malawi Children's Initiative. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
It's great to have you back. As we were talking about before the break, there were 3 primary focuses of MCI. We covered both education and nutrition. Let's get into the healthcare portion of that. David, if you'd like to take us through that.
Sure. So Malawi Children's Initiative started out in the healthcare field by mainly providing paying for extra shifts for nurses at the very overwhelmed pediatric hospital. You know, there'll be up to 400 children at a time admitted there. As Elizabeth said, there'll be 25 children to one nurse. So that's how we initially started. We said, look, we'll pay for extra shifts. Following that, though, we realized it might be better for us with the Ministry of Health to provide funding to hire extra nurses. So right now we employ nurses, we employ nutritionists, we employ lab techs. We also use one of our big fundraisers to actually build a pediatric lab that's right there on the ward at the hospital and has really markedly improved clinical care. And we continue to support that lab fully. We pay for the staff, we pay for all the reagents, and that's really been a big input at the hospital. We also work on education. There's a lot of medical students who come through there and interns, and we've helped facilitate their education as well. Again, all in conjunction with the local military, Ministry of Health and with the hospital.
So it's wonderful to have a base there, a sort of a collaborative base, right, with the Ministry of Health. Have other doctors stepped in to help sort of spearhead this initiative as well? And what's that been like working with them across the board?
Yeah, so that would kind of bring in my academic work at UNC. So it's really hard as a state institution to, you know, pay an American physician to go and live in another country and take care of children. It's hard to find funding for that. But UNC has been really supportive in terms of letting me go several months a year to contribute. I have partnered with other colleagues at other institutions who have also worked in Malawi, and together we've formed a consortium that's called Pachimake, and what it means is like coming together for a common cause. And we have basically scheduled ourselves so that we rotate through over the course of the year and we provide consistent pediatric emergency care to the population over the course of a year. There are lots of people doing things in Malawi. Sometimes the problem is that people will be doing things in parallel or they won't be communicating with each other. And so over the decade that I've been working there, I think that's one of the reasons MCI works so well, is that we're able to get information from these academic partnerships about where the need is greatest and then fundraise from our community members to address those needs.
So speaking of needs, there are some rather large needs associated with the intentions of building a children's hospital. Let's talk through this, because this is one of the biggest projects you probably attempted to address at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And there are some large numbers, rather large numbers associated with that. Talk to us about what the project looks like, what the estimated numbers look like, and how people can get involved from a financial perspective.
So this is my midlife crisis. Yes. So other people buy a convertible. I decided, let's build a children's hospital. So what we've learned over the last decade is that the hospital that exists is really good at taking care of kids who have the most common diseases like malaria and pneumonia. And, you know, greater than 95% of the time, they're getting appropriate medications and they're doing well. Where the gap exists is in kids who have complex illnesses. So if a mom here in the United States took their baby to the hospital with a surgical condition, they have a less than 1% chance of dying from that condition. In Malawi, it's 16 times that. So 16% of kids, you know, more than 1 in 10 kids who has a surgical problem will die from that. Similarly, kids who are really sick, so who need a higher level of care, they die in the hospital. So this hospital that we plan to build will work in partnership with what already exists. They will continue to take care of the less sick, higher volume children, but we will use our funds from MCI to build a structure that will have an intensive care unit, operating theaters, and a PACU, so like a post-surgical unit for nursing care, and then a neonatology unit as well. And so we won't need to be reinventing the wheel. We'll still be working in partnership with the Ministry of Health, but we'll be able to address this very specific need. In the last 15 years or so, I think that Malawi has only graduated less than 20 pediatricians. So the staff is stretched so thin. We're going to rely on these academic partnerships that we've developed through UNC to provide the initial doctors within this hospital. And once we've trained Malawian physicians, then we can all go back home. Right. We can all let them take it over.
Sure.
But initially, that's how we plan to staff it.
So, Elizabeth, from the notes that you and I have addressed, $5 million is the expected amount needed out of the gate or so over the next 2.5 years, correct?
That's our goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that money would come strictly from fundraising here in the United States.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I don't know. When I'm going back to Malawi in 4 days, I think. And I do plan to meet with some, there are some, you know, wealthy Malawians who I think are also interested in, you know, helping to support this hospital. So I do plan to meet with them as well. It is, you know, one of the poorest countries in the world. So I think, I mean, this is, to me, it's sort of incumbent upon us who have so much to help support the people who don't have as much and, you know, fill that gap.
Absolutely. And so, listeners, today, there's really one way to get involved, which is by donating funds. This is the best way. It's the most impactful way. And you can do so easily. Click the donate button on the website, which is MalawiChildrensInitiative.org. And we'll get to that more in the third part of our show. Right now, we do have to take our second commercial break. We'll be back with more of Drs. Elizabeth and David Fitzgerald of the Malawi Children's Initiative. After the break, you're listening to Talk of the Town right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, a look at philanthropy, goodwill, and altruism right here in our community. Here's your host, Jeremy Salemson.
And we are back for our final segment of the show with Drs. Elizabeth and David Fitzgerald discussing their passion project, the Malawi Children's Initiative. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
An exciting conversation so far. David, let's talk about fundraising for just a moment. You have a fundraiser that's coming up shortly, specifically a run for Malawi. Talk to us about that and how people can get either involved in the fundraiser or also donate as well.
Absolutely. This is the third annual run for Malawi. This year, it's going to be a virtual run because of COVID. So what we've created is an option to sign up. And for $20, you can sign up for the run, and you can run either a 5K, 10K, 20K. We even have some people running a 50K. And the goal of the run is, you know, yes, go do your run, post your time. We can all celebrate that, but also to create a fundraising page, send it out to family and friends, and hopefully if everyone who signed up could raise even $100, that money would go so far in Malawi. It's very easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to MalawiChildrensInitiative.org. There's a link there, and it's that'll get you signed up, and hopefully you'll create a fundraising page. The event is actually going to be the weekend of May 1st, so anytime on that weekend you can run your event, post your time, and get those fundraisers.
Fantastic. And so hopefully listeners, please do what you can to get involved not only with the race, but also to donate, which again, you can do so at the site. There's a yellow donate button at the top right-hand portion of that, MalawiChildrensInitiative.org. So because we are on the radio, we are not able to offer visual options for what an experience might be like in Malawi. But we do have a story that Elizabeth has written, which is an incredibly well-written and an impactful and visceral story, if you will. And we'd like for her to read a snippet or two from this wonderful writing. So, Elizabeth,
thanks.
Take it away.
So this was written from when I was working in Malawi in January of 2019. So my day today began and ended with dead children. I walked into the emergency room in the morning to find the night intern doing chest compressions on a surprisingly chunky toddler in a yellow wool hat with embroidered pink flowers. Despite his robust size, he was beyond saving. It was unclear why he had died. Shortly after we had declared him dead, after his mother dropped to the ground with guttural wails, they brought Christina to me. She was about 4 years old, and her face had the glazed expression of shock, with her eyes half-lidded and her mouth partially open. Her lips were dry and dusky, her hands were cool. She lay in her mom's outstretched arms, limp and unresponsive in a faded, rose-colored dress. She had been laying essentially unnoticed in the hospital for days, with bilious vomiting, the intern explained. Her mom had asked for help this morning because the child would no longer wake up. I lifted her from her mother's arms and marveled at how light she was, her tiny limbs dangling at her sides. The intern team and I spent the day resuscitating her with intravenous fluids while tending to the approximately 50 other critically ill patients in the emergency room. At the end of the day, 16 hours into my 48-hour call shift, it was time to go home. I was already exhausted, had Christina's bile dried on my pant leg, and had run out of water hours ago. Her mom sat in a chair at the bedside as I looked at her vital signs, which had stabilized. "Don't leave, Dr. Eliza," the mom spoke. "Don't leave your patient. Stay with her." I was startled and realized that the patient's mom spoke English, had heard my name, and was imploring me not to go home. Being a physician is both a privilege and a burden. In lifting that child from her mother's arms that morning, I had taken on responsibility for her life. And despite her size, her burden was heavy. At Kumuzu Central Hospital, where our team of four was covering more than 200 patients that night, I understood this mom's fear that if I left her baby, she might die. And yet, after 8 years of working in KCH in this emergency zone, which I sometimes liken to a war zone, I knew that I needed to go home in order to be functional for the rest of my call and the rest of the patients. The child had been stabilized and she needed a surgeon. I explained to her mom that the three on-call interns would watch over Christina, that she was in good hands, they could call me anytime. I live only 5 minutes from the hospital, I told her, and the surgeon had promised to come. I drove home on the unlit streets with a feeling of dread. I saw her empty bed when I arrived for rounds the next morning. The surgeon had never come. In my writing about global health over the years, I've tried so many different ways to describe heartbreak. Sometimes it's almost a physical pain that leaves you momentarily breathless. People in my line of work get asked a lot about why we do what we do. Christina and her mom personify my motivation. I'm motivated by the weight of her body in my arms. I'm motivated by the burden of her death because I had to go home. I don't understand why we as human beings value some lives more than others, but I'm faced with the evidence of that every day that I come to work at KCH. It's not okay that six children died that night. It's not okay to have such different standards for ourselves than we do for other mothers and their children in the world. We as global citizens need to do better.
Well,
sorry.
Beautifully written about a tragic situation. Thank you both.
Sorry.
For the great work you're doing. Again, if you want to get involved, it's MalawiChildrensInitiative.org. Please donate. Thank you.
This has been Talk of the Town with Jeremy Salemson. Tune in next time for conversations with local folks with a commitment to making our part of the world a better place. Listen to this episode and more on demand at chapelboro.com.